You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Don't know if anyone remembers, wasn't that long ago we had what they call a general election. Things seem pretty clear as to the outcome, but then... And now look, the government we've got is the government you voted for, and a part of that government is Chloe Swarbrick from the Greens. Good morning, Chloe, how are you?
I'm great, thank you, Mikey. How are you?
You get to step into Phil Goff's shoes because he can't join us. He's overseas, so you get to sit in Phil's chair today.
Oh, mate, it's like I won the Auckland Mayoral here, Phil. Such an alternate you.
Yeah, in the face. But you never thought that would happen, Phil.
I would say it's also quite a good morning in Wellington at the moment because it seems like we've really missed it's kind of semi-apocalyptic storm that you had in Auckland last night. That really, really sucks. I hope that everyone's all good.
Yeah, well, I live smack dab right in the middle of your area. There, Chloe, and we could have really done with you last night, you enjoy yourself down there in Wellington, while we have a crisis up here. You did miss it. It's been exciting, but I suppose it's good for a metropolitan city to have a bit of a drill every now and then.
Right.
Hey, Chloe, I wanted to talk to you this morning about your new co-leader. Tell us about your new leader.
It's actually quite a funny one. I was getting on the plane yesterday to come down to Wellington, obviously, for work in the morning on my 6:30 a.m.
For work, for running the country,
And was just, going through the Twitter, as you do, and came across, I think it was Rod Emerson's little cartoon, the one where he had all of the Green Caucus as penguins, and we were on this little iceberg called climate change, and Marama, who was identified because she was wearing a panamu, was pointing and saying over to the left there, pointing at this iceberg, saying that we all needed to swim over to the social justice iceberg. And I got really, actually, probably quite abnormally irate about this.
Would you say that's the most a cartoon has affected you?
Actually, funnily enough, Mikey, I heard a cartoon, Emerson did the cartoon about me when my medicinal cannabis bill failed, and we've actually just bought the original because I thought it was hilarious. It's got me with this massive bong saying...
What's a bong? I'm not sure. What's a...
one of those utensils that's illegal, saying, I'm guessing this isn't the right climate for change.
I see what he did there.
I got really angry about this cartoon in the morning, and I was just like, there are so few people who really actually understand the Green kaupapa, which kind of makes sense because, we're nerds, we're policy wonks, and our charter is four prongs. And it, kind of inextricably ties together the issues of social justice and climate change. Inherently recognising, as Jeanette Fitzsimon said back in the day so many times, that we have an economic system that exploits both people and the planet. But, because Marama, is reported as talking on homelessness, people think that has to be mutually exclusive to talking about climate change. But I think you would have seen a perfect example summed up in the situation last night with that massive storm. Those storms are going to get more frequent with climate change. The people who are going to be affected the most adversely are our homeless. So
absolutely,
all of this stuff is wrapped up together, right?
It is, and it's it annoys. I get really annoyed when that throwaway tag that you bloody greenies. it's like one thing. Whether you agree with whether people agree with your party's policies or not, the one thing about the Greens is at least you know what they're into. It's really hard to get that definition. From other parties, you get an indication of where what they're into. But I mean, the Greens. At least with the Greens that this is that you'll run this way, but you won't run that way. I think this is especially reading all this negative feedback for what Tyker's said recently too. We're as dumb as pig shit in this country sometimes, we need to sort of just stop leaning on those old cliches and boring sort of prejudices, And move ahead.
That's not an official Green Party position, what you've just said. But, to Taika's point, this it blew up a little bit not too long ago. I think it was only about a year or so ago when we had all of the usual commentary at, you know, Duncan Garner and all the rest calling him a traitor to the country. So, you know, how dare he say that New Zealand is the best country in the world. But, you know, we're a little bit racist. And now he's obviously...
He can say whatever he wants.
Well, he, you know, I think that the best commentary of it came actually from people of colour. I can't remember who it was who wrote an amazing article last night in response to all of the, you know, moral panic about how dare he, as an ambassador for our country, go out there and be honest about our shortcomings. And I think that honesty and integrity is just really important, and it's what we used to.
That's what I thought we were people that were able to do that. And it's it just gets frustrating, especially when it's just, it must be hard being in government at the moment with the, you know, like you say, you know, you've got the new co-leader, you know, congratulations, welcome the new co-leader of the Greens, Manawa Davis, yay, woohoo! Oh, and then, you know, get in line for a good 30 or 40 opinion editorial pieces from people who haven't really thought about it at
missing
all,
who are just
kicking up dust for the sake of it, you know?
Totally. But at the same time, I mean, it's been a funny old experience these past 6 months.
Oh,
you know,
I'm sure it has, Chloe.
Falling into the halls of power.
Can I ask you something? Just privately. Do you reckon the lifts at the Beehive are really small?
They are tiny.
Freaky,
and I know this for a fact because Manama was actually in a wheelchair about 3-4 weeks ago because she really hurt and sprained her foot. And I was pushing her around a bit. Actually, there was a classic photo with Julianne in the middle, like in the thick of the, you know, heat of the co-leadership competition. These two greenies, one of them in a wheelchair, the other one who's like, you know, her deathly competitor pushing her around the...
Keeping it real, eh?
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, these lifts are tiny. I had to put Marama in them, and it's just like this massive re-check around. So I'll tell you one thing. Parliament definitely has to become more accessible, that's for sure.
Tell us how the Greens elect a leader or co-leader. Because it's quite unique, isn't it?
It is quite a process. It's quite funny throughout that process, you know, because we triggered it a few months ago now. And there were all these people asking me, oh, you know, who do you want to win? And I was like, well, of course both of them will be fantastic, but actually as a caucus it's outside of our hands. So this is actually quite nice.
What are you, four leaders? Five leaders?
Yeah.
Like a band, like have a band in charge.
We totally are a band. There were some really cool photos, cute photos of us from Rapana when we were looking like a band. you know, a bloody greenies. Anyway, so... we basically go out to our whole party, so our grassroots around the country. All of our different branches are obviously grouped into, well, not obviously, but they're grouped into provinces. But every
so provinces or electorates or...?
Branches shaped around an electorate, but sometimes if branches are too small in terms of people's numbers, then two branches will amalgamate. But we're growing as a party, so we've got 6,500 members around the country. All of them belong to branches, and basically they'd go along to their branch meetings, which happen once a month, and there were a few that were called an urgency, and they were just discussed across the process of a few months and have the co-leaders come and talk to them, and then they would elect people inside their branches to represent them, to vote for them, so kind of a bit of an electoral college system. So in total, we ended up
pretty complex, Pretty complex
it is pretty complex. But
for a bunch of tree huggers,
the democracy, the representative democracy, Mikey. So we had about 150 folks who were all informed by their branches. There was one final big delegate call where they got to, you know, grill the co-leader candidates on every, you know, question under the sun. And then the vote happened, and then, you know, Manama was announced on Sunday in Auckland as the winner.
The people were quite surprised how many more votes she had than Julianne Jenner.
Yeah, I would just say that that's probably got to do with how all of the branches vote in their own minds. You know, there isn't this massive coordinated effort or anything like that. So, you know, it's usual voting behaviour. If people feel as though, you know, their candidate might or might not win, then they're more inclined to ensure that they have the numbers inside, you know, the bounds of what they have control over. So inside branches, sure. People may have overcompensated, all of those kinds of, you know, classic human behavioural things. But, yeah, I would say that it has given Marama quite the staunch mandate to ensure, you know, that she is really bringing our kaupapa and the fire to the house. So we'll be both obviously supporting the government and holding the government to account, which is a really unique position that we're in confidence and supply. It's a bit of a different one to New Zealand First. You'll know, obviously, that there's three parties in government. So New Zealand First and Labour are in full coalition, whereas we're in confidence and supply. So that means we're kind of in this cool position where we're both 1 foot in and 1 foot outside of government, so we can take principled stances against certain actions. So that's obviously something that we chose to do with the likes of the TPPA, things that we have a really strong difference of opinion on. We've also done it on the likes of oil drilling.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a cool place to be at the moment, and quite a weird one to, again, have fallen into, but it's a massive privilege, eh?
Do you ever think there'll be a day where they won't say, so when the opinion pieces won't say, ooh, a Maori, ooh, risky?
Oh, dude,
What about that antiquated fitting. Crap?
Yeah, it's quite fitting that, you know, that stuff... There were a few good on the Twitter again, referring to my Twitter army mates. There were quite a few people calling out all of those pieces of commentary, really scared about how Marama supposedly was, you know, stirring up these. They were
just
stirring
a waste
up these moral
space.
Panics about how she didn't represent, you know, middle New Zealand, and it's just kind of what is middle New Zealand nowadays? I mean, if you're talking about Auckland, which holds a third of the country's entire population, 40% of the population's born overseas. And, like, Marama is an indigenous person of New Zealand.
It's a ridiculous argument, isn't it? But, I mean, so from here you are, here's the Greens, 2018, it's we're just rolling into April. How's it all feeling? How's the party feeling? And by the way, if anyone thinks this is a big ad for the Greens, it's not. I just want to talk to Chloe.
We never used to hang out, so this is how Micah got me on the phone. It's really good, man. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we're actually working through. The budget's coming out in the next few months. One thing that, again, has been, you know, quite evident is, as we've been rolling back the books and looking at a whole bunch of the issues that we've inherited, it's insane. It's insane. And I think that's what you get with this real myopic focus philosophically on GDP at the height of, you know, that we put that on the pedestal and go, what we actually need is GDP. GDP is literally just a measure of economic transactions, right? Yeah. It doesn't discriminate on the basis of the quality of those transactions or the distribution of those transactions. So when you myopically focus on GDP, basically you're celebrating less government spending. And that becomes a massive issue when, you know, we have... Well, GDP actually goes up when we have disasters, when we have things like oil spills, which you would have seen potentially BP justifying doing more oil drilling off the coast of Australia by saying that even if we did have an oil spill, this would be great for GDP because you'd have to spend money to, you know, fix this problem, which would boost your local economy. You know, what kind of ad is that? So we're just currently working on, and James, who's the minister responsible for it, as Minister for Stats and Associate Minister for Finance, is implementing a lot of work into building a framework which will be called the Wellbeing Framework, which will then produce a wellbeing budget in 2019. And basically that's about going, look, we think that the role of government is actually to look beyond pure finances. It's actually to run the country, to ensure that everybody's getting the best opportunities that they possibly can. Because on top of this, like, myopic focus on GDP, it's just totally unsustainable if we're just producing more and more waste.
We've just
disruption with, like, AI and everything else, so... Just about taking a step back.
I just watched that documentary that Do You Trust This Computer documentary.
Oh yeah.
Hey, hey Chloe, we've got to go. Yeah, but thanks very much for talking to us this morning. Good luck with the new co-leadership, and may everything go well, and may the country continue to rollick on and do its wonderful stuff that it does. And congratulations to you for being part of it.
Cheers, Mikey. Have a good one.
All right. Hooray, Chloe.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.